Hi there, folks. Welcome to the Chronicles of Time this week. The show's going to be a bit different. I'm not going to lie to you. It's probably the most unplanned I've ever had for an episode, but I think it'll be a lot of fun. I just turned 25, so I wanted to celebrate my birthday, and I kind of just wanted to have fun with the show and do something that I thought you all would like as well. So I'm bringing on my fiance, Summer, who you all have heard before because she's been on other episodes. I think you were on Roanoke, possibly. Yeah, I think she was on that. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's one that she was on. So we're going to have her on. And what we're going to do is kind of just play a game. We're going to, she's going to have campaign slogans and I think some quotes from presidents. And then even there was something else. Oh, some just presidential trivia. She just mouthed that to me because I couldn't remember. But we're going to do that on the show. And where I turned 25, I wanted to do this thing where I talk to you guys about where certain influential figures in history were whenever they were also 25. But anyhow, let's go ahead and get started with the show. I'm your host, Rachel Payton, and Summer's going to be joining us on the show today. And this is the Chronicles of Time. Let's dive in to presidential trivia and more. Let's go ahead and dive into the show. So Summer pretty much took the lead this week. I told her that's what I wanted her to do. So I was just like, I want you to quiz me and let's have fun with it. We'll do my stuff later on. We'll do that boring old stuff at the end. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. Summer, you can start us off with either trivia or you can do some campaign slogans or you can do whatever you have in mind. So you start us off.
Okay, so we're going to do presidential slogans first, because I think some of the older ones are really funny, because...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which you may know some of them, because obviously, you know stuff that I think no one would know. So, this is one I think is funny.
Okay, let's hear it.
Don't swap horses in midstream.
And this is a campaign slogan?
Yes.
I swear, it sounds...
What does that even mean?
Is this Teddy Roosevelt?
No.
Okay.
Odor.
Oh, okay. I was thinking horses, okay. Rough Rider. Okay. I'm going to guess one more. Can you give me multiple choice? Give me three choices.
Okay. James K. Polk, William McKinley, Abraham Lincoln.
Okay, and tell me the slogan one more time.
Don't swap horses in midstream.
And what I'm thinking, if I had to guess what this meant, was don't switch teams mid-battle. Like, you know, stick with who you're with and you'll get the furthest.
Well, and this is another big hint, but this person has been president and this is their second time running. So oh. They're like, don't switch up on me now. Like, I've been your president.
Okay. James K. Polk.
Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, my gosh.
His second time, 1864.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. I was like,
his first slogan was, vote yourself a farm.
Okay. And if, I need to throw this in, speaking of Abraham Lincoln, that's actually what we did to celebrate my 25th birthday is we went to the birthplace of Abraham Lincoln, and we also went to his boyhood home, and we had a blast. Summer had a lot of fun. She said she wants to go back, and we actually went to Abraham Lincoln Museum as well.
Yeah. It was fun. It really was.
I got too many souvenirs.
Okay, this one is obvious, but I want to mention it because I think it is also funny.
Okay.
Keep cool and keep Coolidge.
Calvin Coolidge. Yep.
Okay. Happy days are here again.
Ooh. I don't know, but I like it. Oh, gosh. I need some options again.
Ooh. Okay, can I just give you hints?
Yeah.
Or would you rather have
options? No, let's hear some hints.
Okay. Served multiple terms.
Franklin Roosevelt?
Yep.
Okay, yes. And I'm thinking because, like, we're coming out of the Great Depression. Better days are here. Okay, I like
yes,
it.
Yes, that
I
was
like
his
it.
First campaign slogan.
Oh, my gosh. Well, and it's yep. funny how I happen to like it because I love him. So that's probably why I like it.
And then his next two campaign slogans were pretty much just... I'll just read them to you.
Okay.
The second one, remember Hoover.
He said, and don't forget it.
The third one, better a third Tom than a third Raider.
Dang, he was just on it with his slogans, wasn't he?
Yes.
That's probably why he got all the elected.
And the first one was, happy days are here again. The rest, he was taking shots.
I love it. Okay. I love it.
It's morning again in America.
Are you sure these aren't for, like, newscast? This is insane. Why? Yes. Why are these? Some of these are just like.
This is from the University of, I think, Syracuse.
Okay. Well, let's see. Can you repeat it? I'm like a spelling
bee. It's morning again in America.
It's morning again in America. Okay. Would it be after a dark period? Ooh. Okay, give me some options. Give me some multiple choice.
We are getting more. This is more
modern.
Yeah. Well.
Okay. Is it? Did it happen in the 1900s?
Yes.
Okay.
Late 1900s.
Oh. Jimmy Carter? No, Jimmy Carter's is like Peanuts.
It's actually after Jimmy Carter.
Okay, is this George H.W. Bush?
It is Ronald Reagan. His second term.
Okay, because I thought his first term, Make America Great Again. Or just Make America Great. Let's Make America Great.
Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Because he was running against Jimmy Carter.
Okay. Well, another one of Ronald Reagan is Make America Great, mm-hmm. which we know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. For people, for a change.
For people, for a change. That sounds like some Clinton.
Yep, you're right.
Okay. That just sounds like the Clintons. Four people, for a change. Okay.
Last one I'm going to give you because then it gets really modern and we know them.
Too obvious. Okay.
Yes. Building a safer world and a more hopeful America.
Ooh. Is this modern, I'm assuming?
Yes.
Okay. George H.W. Bush.
Yes.
Okay.
No.
No.
Sorry.
George
W. Bush.
Just his son.
Yes, the young one.
Man, you had me thinking I was like a genius.
No, sorry.
I was like, oh yeah, instantly got
sorry.
It.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I need to be humble. I'm no genius. Okay. So that's it for that. I suck, but it's okay. You live, you learn. Maybe next time we do this in a couple of years, I will do better. But that was so much fun, and I'm ready to see what's next.
Next, we're going to do quotes.
Okay, let's do it. I am not good at this either, but I will try my darndest.
Well, and I can help you.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the first one.
Okay.
I wish to see this beverage become common instead of the whiskey, which kills 1/3 of our citizens and ruins their families. This is in reference to beer.
I have a feeling this was like a founding father. Ooh, I'm thinking it was John Adams. Not John Adams.
Nope.
Thomas Jefferson.
Yes.
And he's saying he wants beer to be more common.
Yes.
Than whiskey.
Yes.
Okay, I can see
because
that.
Because whiskey kills 1/3 of our citizens and ruins their families.
Well, my goodness, Tommy. How'd you get those numbers?
He made up his Bible.
He made up his own Bible. Yep. Thomas, he said, I do what I want.
I'm sorry if you hear my chair squeaking.
It's fine. We are only human.
Okay. Next.
Okay.
My children give me more pain than all my enemies.
Teddy Roosevelt.
No.
John Tyler.
John Adams.
Okay.
He's not a fan of his children.
I mean, I don't know if I will be a mine. No, I'm just messing. I don't
That's
know.
That's hilarious. Okay, this next one I agree with, which I don't get to say often with what the presidents say.
Okay, yes. Summer is, she is a very
opinionated
modern woman, and I love and appreciate her for it.
Okay, here's the quote.
Okay.
Christmas is not a time nor a season, but a state of mind.
State of mind. Oh my gosh, I've heard this a million times. Is this Calvin Coolidge?
Yeah.
Okay. And you know what's so funny is this sounds like something Jimmy Carter would go on to say or have on his mantle. Like because Jimmy Carter has went on to write a book called Christmas in Plains. So I think they could go and have coffee together and talk a lot about Christmas. And I want to be there because I love Christmas too. It's a state of mind.
Yes.
But I think yours is Halloween as a state of mind. Summer wishes every day was Halloween.
I do, but I thrive on any holiday. Honestly.
That's true.
I love St. Patrick's Day.
She loves it.
I mean.
I can't wait.
Valentine's Day.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We're going to. 4th of July. Our yard in the future is just going to be like. Tacky. Tacky. They're going to be like, dang, again?
Okay, this next one is also a Christmas quote.
Okay.
But it's funny.
Okay, let's hear it.
A good many things go around in the dark besides Santa Claus.
The heck does that mean?
You would have to ask Mr. Herbert Hoover.
Okay, I don't want to talk. I don't ever want to ask him anything, to be honest. I want to ask him to get out of my face.
If you run into them, there's other things going on.
That's very true.
Here's another quote.
Okay.
If this is coffee, please bring me some tea. But if this is tea, please bring me some coffee.
That sounds like Lyndon B. Johnson.
It's not.
Okay.
We've heard from this person today earlier in the slogans.
Well, they sound crazy. John Adams again.
Abraham Lincoln.
What is wrong with you, Abraham?
You know, I think he's trying to be as nice as possible. Because he's like, he's obviously been served something. And he's like, if this is coffee, please bring me some tea. But if this is your tea, please bring me some of your coffee. Because whatever this is not working. Like, I gotta try at least the other thing.
Okay, but listen, what if this is
He says please, multiple times.
But what if this is deep and poetic and it's just going way over our heads right now? What's the category?
Food and drink.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Another from this category.
Okay.
You can tell a lot about a fellow's character by his way of eating jelly beans.
Oh, that has to be Ronald Reagan.
And it is.
Because he kept, I believe it was red, white, and blue jelly beans on his, on the Oval Office desk. I think that's what he did. He's known for that. I think.
There's two more from Food and Drink, and I'm going to read them both.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because.
I'm having a blast.
This is my sense of humor.
Okay.
I do not like broccoli, and I haven't liked it since I was a little kid, and my mother made me eat it. President of the United States, and I'm not going to eat any more broccoli. Now look, this is the last statement I'm going to have on broccoli.
It's George H.W. Bush?
It is.
And he hates broccoli, and I hate broccoli too.
You eat broccoli casserole. That is one of her favorite dishes. Spoken like a true president. Okay. Next quote.
Okay.
I have probably consumed more raisins than any other president who ever held this office, and I've enjoyed every one of them.
What?
This is a more modern president.
Okay, I was gonna say Jimmy Carter, but I just don't know.
It's a little later than Jimmy Carter.
Later than, I'm scared, because which one of these new presidents have ate raisins? Bill Clinton?
Yep. Mr. Bill Clinton.
Why? And is he referring to raisins?
It's under food and drink. I will not speculate further.
Okay.
Okay. This next category is marijuana.
Is it going to have Barack Obama? No, it's going to have Bill Clinton, and it's going to say, he's going to say something about smoking but not inhaling.
No, but that's funny.
Okay, well, go look it up, folks, because I swear that's what he says. He's like, yeah, I've tried marijuana, but I never really inhaled it. So it doesn't count.
This is on his youthful marijuana use. I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
That's Def Obama.
Yes, that is Obama. Here's the last quote that I will give you. Soft-headed psychiatrists who work in places like National Institute for Mental Health favor marijuana because they're probably all on the stuff themselves.
Richard Nixon?
Yep.
Richard Nixon, I just want to say the only reason I knew that is because he's paranoid about psychologists in any kind of if you know the podcast, you know this. I mean, Richard Nixon's a freak.
Yeah.
Watergate.
Okay, now we are going to move on to trivia.
trivia night.
So it's going to be me asking you a question and you trying to think of the answer. The answer is usually a president.
Okay.
I think all the answers are a president, actually.
Okay.
Okay. Some of them are fun, but some of them are just, like, history.
Okay.
What's fun? Like, the first one.
Okay.
Who was the first president to be born an American citizen?
Oh, my gosh, because it wouldn't be the Founding Fathers because they were born in England.
Yes. So, which president?
Was it Andrew Jackson?
It was Martin Van Buren. All seven previous presidents were born British subjects.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
Next question.
Okay.
During whose campaign was the modern political button patented?
Ooh, JFK? No, it would be way before that. FDR? Before that? Herbert Hoover?
A famous high school is named after him.
William McKinley?
Yes.
Glee.
Yeah.
You have to be a Gleek to know what she just referred to.
Yes, but it was in 1896.
Okay. McKinley, poor McKinley. Dead.
Oh. See?
Of assassination.
Oh.
Yeah.
I said,
got somber, didn't it?
Okay. Which candidates participated in the first televised debates?
Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy.
That is correct. It was September 26, 1960, to an audience of 70 million.
Yes, and fun fact, Nixon and JFK were offered makeup for the debate, and they both turned it down. So then JFK goes back into his dressing room and is like, I'm putting on makeup. I gotta look good, you know? So he does it. Richard Nixon puts on this god-awful aftershave that, or just like this something, he puts something on his face and it looks terrible. It just completely makes him ghost him out. And that's why people, you know, that's not the only reason, because, I mean, look at JFK, you know, I mean, Summer has her own opinions on JFK. We're not going to be here for an hour.
I agree that he appeared better than
Richard Nixon.
Yes.
Okay. That's the only good thing you'll probably hear her say for a while.
That's not true. I have other good things.
She just needs an hour to think of them.
Yeah, it would just take me a second. Okay. He knew Marilyn Monroe.
He knew Jackie.
He knew her. Can't say he treated her good.
Okay.
Okay. I know we just mentioned Glee.
Okay.
This is another nod to one of my favorite shows.
Okay.
Who was O. Tippecanoe?
It is O. William Henry Harrison, and she's referring to Parks and Recreation.
Yes. Yes, I am. Okay. Next. Who is the only president to have been elected by unanimous electoral vote?
Whoa. Ooh. Whoa. Franklin D. Roosevelt.
So, it has not happened since George Washington.
Oh, why did I think that it was going to... Yeah, okay, that makes a lot of sense, because I'm over here like, I have no clue. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, yeah. Because there's no way we're going to be that.
He had an advantage, obviously. He faced no opposition. Well, little opposition.
So. Yeah, and they were pretty much begging him to be president at the time. Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. God, why do I keep just... FDR, why do I think he hung the moon? Okay, let's keep going.
That is your favorite answer.
He...
I think since it's easy to say. Okay, next one.
Okay.
Who was the first president to effectively use social media in his campaign?
Ooh, Bill Clinton?
You think Bill Clinton was using social... What social media was... What was there?
Blogs?
Social media. So we're talking Facebook, Twitter.
Okay.
LinkedIn, YouTube.
So, okay, YouTube... George W. Bush?
Barack Obama.
Okay, I didn't know how old YouTube was. Campaign. My God, I'm embarrassed, y'all. I promise I know history, American history, I promise.
Well, and when I wrote this question out to ask you, I wrote modern next to it, so.
Okay.
Not surprised you didn't know it. Who was the only president sworn in by a woman?
Can you tell me who the woman was?
Yes, it was U.S. District Court Judge Sarah T. Hughes on Air Force One.
Lyndon B. Johnson. Yes. Thank you. The Air Force One gave it away. Yep. Thank you.
Just hours after President John F. Kennedy passed away in Dallas.
He insisted Jackie be there.
Yes.
Insisted.
Yes. And though she was in no place to be there, but he did not care. Like, it wasn't. She was still covered in blood. She literally was, like, in a state of shock. We're talking, like, hours.
Oh, yes.
And, I mean, yeah. It's absolutely. Anyway. Which president hosted the first inaugural ball to be fully illuminated by electric lights?
Ooh.
We've also already mentioned this president.
When did they get...
It was in 1901.
Oh, Theodore Roosevelt.
William McKinley.
My gosh.
It was in the Great Hall of Washington's Pension Building.
Okay.
It was his second inaugural ball. There were 12,000 guests in the audience.
Wow.
I want to attend one of these balls.
Me too. I want to attend all of them.
Well, isn't there a bunch? Or is that something else?
No, yeah, an inauguration, there's literally like 10 balls you have to go to on inauguration night. It's crazy.
Who was sworn in using his nickname instead of his given name?
Ooh, I don't know.
This president only goes by this nickname. You know the answer.
I do know the answer. Yes. I don't know. Hold on.
Because you only know him by this name. But you know. You would know.
It's Bill Clinton.
No.
Because I was thinking so William. Confident.
But it is like, do you want me to say it? Or it was a more, it's in the like late 1900s.
Oh, late 1900s?
I mean, it's, you've read books on this man.
Jimmy Carter. Yes. James Earl Carter. Yes. Jimmy Carter. Okay, yes. Okay. Yes. Okay, I was wondering if it was Bill Clinton because William. Okay, William. But that makes sense. William Clinton. Mm-hmm. Okay.
This one I found fun when I read it.
Okay.
Which president's inaugural party forced him to flee the White House? This one's like an older one. It's just a fun story. So it was Andrew Jackson.
Oh my gosh. Was there cheese involved?
No.
Okay. That may be the end of his presidency. His diary
of a wimpy kid, stinky cheese. The cheese time.
No, they really did stink. The cheese.
Okay, but no. After his inaugural, Jackson generously invited ordinary Americans to the mansion to celebrate. But he did not count on the response. As many as 20,000 callers turned up ready to party. They caused such a ruckus that they forced Jackson to flee to a nearby hotel.
That's what you get.
Yeah. While he was in the hotel, his aide stayed behind and tried to lure souvenir seekers and rabble-rousers out of the building by filling washtubs with orange juice and whiskey and placing them on the White House lawn. So there's just washtubs full of orange juice and whiskey on the White House lawn to make these people leave the executive mansion.
It's like almost rude to the White House.
Well, I think his heart was in the right place because he was trying to invite like ordinary Americans. Like, no, y'all deserve to party with us. But a bunch of people showed up.
He had no limit on how many could come.
Yeah, I don't think he realized how many people would want to party with the president.
He didn't have a doorman. Like, there was nobody at the door.
No.
He had no bouncer. He needed a bouncer.
Which president was sworn in by a former president?
Oh, it's William Howard Taft is the one who did it because he was a Supreme Court justice.
Correct.
Who did he swear in?
It was on March 4th, 1925.
Oh my gosh, was it Calvin Coolidge?
It was.
Okay.
Yes, and it says, during this time, the festivities were very somber because the Coolidges were still mourning the death of their teenage son the previous July.
Yes, and if you listen to my podcast on First Ladies Part 2, go listen to that. It's crazy. Just go listen to it.
Who traveled undercover to Washington for his inaugural?
Oh. Put on a mustache and a top hat.
Well, it was because the country was on the brink of war and he could not afford to take chances. Because there was a lot of assassination. There was a lot of threats to assassinate him.
Woodrow Wilson.
Abraham Lincoln.
Oh my gosh! Mm-hmm. Well, this sucks.
That's not true.
Me and Abe, we just... I don't ace Abe. Hey,
that just means we need to go back and visit that place.
Again, I told y'all, yep. She loves it.
I really did. I really did have a really good time. Who was the first president to name a woman to his cabinet?
Okay, I have a couple guesses. Jimmy Carter?
It was,
before that.
Yeah, it was a lot earlier than I expected.
A woman to his cabinet. I'm not going to say his name again, but I'm wanting to say FDR.
It was.
Oh my gosh, finally.
Frances Perkins as Secretary of Labor in 1933.
And we can only assume Eleanor had a heavy hand in that decision.
Well, who was the first president to deliver a speech by radio? See, I love these facts because it just puts into perspective, like...
It would have been a while back.
Yes, but also just not that long ago. It was 1922. Which, obviously, so that Warren was 100 G. years Harding. Ago, but... Yes.
Okay. Yep.
Harding became the first president to have his voice transmitted by radio on June 14th, 1922.
I would have never got that had you not given me the year. Because Warren G. Harding is very... I want to do a podcast over him, an episode... he's very scandalous, and a whole bunch came out, and I think that was the one where we were reading his wife was burning or getting rid of all his letters, and you were like, yes. That is a ride or die till after you die. She's a ride after you die.
Yeah.
She said, no, you ain't getting my mans.
Well, you should do an episode on that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now we have a listener's request.
Which president was called the human iceberg?
Calvin Coolidge. It was cold as ice.
It was Benjamin Harris. He was seriously lacking in social skills.
Benjamin Harrison.
Sorry. Benjamin Harrison.
He's William Henry Harrison's grandson. Fun fact. Parks and Rec.
Okay. Who was the first president seen on television? So this is similar to the radio, but this one is the television.
Ooh. On TV.
Mm-hmm. It was at the opening of the World's Fair in New York City.
Ooh. Can you give me a year?
April 1939. And, it was produced by the National Broadcasting Company, also known as NBC. Parks and Rec.
So it would have also been FDR?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. This is not sponsored by Parks and Rec. But if you would like to sponsor us.
If anybody wants to sponsor us. Parks and
Rec has not been on... TV for 10 years.
No.
No, not that long, but a while. Which president was called the Little Magician? He was only 5'6".
James Madison.
Martin Van Buren.
Oh, he's known as a crafty
politician.
Martin Van Buren.
All right, last one.
Okay.
And this one I also found...
amusing.
Yes. Which president made a joke that almost started a war with Russia?
Ronald Reagan. Yes. He said it, and they didn't think they were recording or something. Do you have the deets?
So, on August 11th, 1984, Reagan joked during a sound check for his Saturday radio address. My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes. Those in the room laughed at the president's quip, but a tape soon leaked. The Soviets briefly put forces on high alert. Embarrassed U.S. officials quickly assured the Kremlin that Reagan's offhand remark did not reflect White House policy. Leave it to Ronald Reagan.
Oh my gosh. Listen, so I'll be watching videos and stuff just over the presidents, and he'll come on or they'll start talking about him, and I'm talking my jaws on the ground. The off-the-wall stuff this man said and did is insane.
I agree.
But that's for another episode on Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
Or episodes, because I don't think you can cover this man in one episode.
You could have a whole podcast.
On Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Now, finally, we are going to the last part. The final part. Summer's going to leave the room. No, I'm just messing. She's staying around. She's going to listen. No. You're going to listen. Okay. This is people whenever they were... These are some historical figures... whenever they were 25, what they were doing. I didn't go into detail. It's just like one sentence. Okay. We're going to start with the man of the hour, FDR. This was 1907. He was 25. He was admitted to the New York bar and welcomed his second child, James. JFK. He was 25 in 1942. He was attending officers training school and inducted to the Navy in Charleston, South Carolina. Ruth Bader Ginsburg in 1958. She was in Columbia Law School finishing her final year, and her husband was battling cancer. And if you want to hear more about that, go listen to my episode on RBG, A Brief Life. Okay, Michelle Obama. This is 1989. Michelle was mentoring her husband-to-be, Barack Obama, at the law firm that she worked at. Okay, Ronald Reagan, who we were just talking about. He was 25 in 1936, and Reagan was a sportscaster and would cover Chicago Cubs games. And that's it for that. But this episode has been a little different, but I had a lot of fun doing it, and thank you, Summer, for coming on today. I really appreciate you being here.
Anytime. I had fun.
Yeah. Well, we may be asking you to come back on soon and doing something else. If y'all want another episode like this, just let me know. Leave me a rating and review. And don't forget to check out my website, www.thechroniclesoftimepodcast.com. And if you have any questions or just want to talk history, email me at thechroniclesoftimepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. This episode has been a blast. Thank you again, Summer, for coming on. I'm your host, Rachel Payton. Thank you for listening to The Chronicles of Time.
Happy birthday, Rachel.
Oh, thank you.